welcome into the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. And no, that's not Murphy Fair. That's not a younger version of Murphy Fair. That is Seth Hackett. Many junior years from Murph. But Seth, we appreciate you helping us out while Murphy's in Clarksville at the TACA All-Star football game.
Yeah, Terry, thanks for having me. Glad to come here to talk some ball anytime.
Well, we'll get things started with our Gordonsville at Watertown games, which happened on Friday night. Randy Jennings and myself had the privilege of calling that game, and Gordonsville girls, a big win, second time this year that they've scored 70 points. They beat Watertown at Watertown 70-59. Very balanced effort by the Tigerettes. Mackenzie Heron and Molly Story with 16 points each. Lily Brock with 12 points. Lainey Foster had a big game as well for Gordonsville, the eighth grader in getting, I think, her first start of the year. For Watertown, Macy Brady and Maddie Willard with 12 points each, and Molly Followell with 11. But that was a pretty big win for Gordonsville on the road last Friday night.
Absolutely. Not meaning any offense to either team, but that's one of those scores when I was checking Coach T and saw it, I had to make sure my eyes were not deceiving me. But a huge win for Gordonsville, going and putting up 70 in a gym that teams have struggled to score in. And we saw it last night with the Owls and Tigers playing. But huge win for Gordonsville. They keep rolling, and they're doing it with some really young players, which is even more impressive.
Gordonsville now 8-1 under their head coach, and we'll have her, Terry Brock, on a little bit later in the show. Let's go ahead and look at the boys. Gordonsville boys squeaks out a 40-35 win. That game was tied in the fourth quarter, but Gordonsville gets the win on the road. Their football players are now back playing with them, and I'm sure that helps. Aiden Miller had 12 points, Jay Foster 11. For Watertown, Devin Brown hit three or four threes, had 14 points. Braylon Carruthers had 9. But once again, Seth, scoring is a problem for Watertown. Only 35 points in the game. Most of the time, if you hold somebody to 40, you feel like you're going to have a great chance to win.
Yeah, you tell a coach right before the game, your opponent's only going to score 40 points. You're going to feel confident most of the time. But Watertown just struggling on offense right now, but plenty of time to improve that. And then Gordonsville mentioned getting their football boys back. That still takes a while to get back in full swing. But when you get guys like Jay Foster back, you're obviously gonna improve drastically, and that very quickly at that.
Another game that we had on our Huff and Puff Trucking Game of the Week was a very key one for Cannon County as they beat Central Magnet 55-47. Of course, Cannon County is 2A, Central Magnet is 3A. They're in there with Watertown, DeKalb, and Macon now. And Cannon gets a big win for them at home. Abby Alexander with 21, Ellie Bain with 20. Central Magnet led by Madison Stanley with 22 and Claire Johnson with 12. But Coach Ashley Patrick's girls get a big win, Seth.
Big win. They know they've got to test themselves non-district with York and Smith County in the district this year. Going to be tough, but yeah, good matchup. A team that's right down the road, but as you mentioned, a bigger school. Historically, a pretty good girls basketball program. I know they've not been around a very long time, but they've always put up some good teams, so big win for Cannon County.
Let's go ahead and look at the boys' game. Cannon County boys remain undefeated. Lucas Phillips with 22 points, Miles Alexander with 20. For Central Magnet, Kaysen Puffer with 20, and Cater Sage with 16. 10-point win for Cannon County, and they've been putting up a lot of points on the board as Jared Knave's bunch.
Really impressive so far this year. You know, big win over Lebanon and this win over Central Magnet. I love Coach Knave, Colin, Jacob. They do a great job. Those guys, you watch them play, they give 100% for their coaches, and I've obviously got a lot of talent this year and are rolling early.
And they're one of the best dressed coaching staffs that you'll ever see. You won't see coaching shirts from them. You'll see coats and shirts and ties and a good looking bunch. We'll start with Gordonsville and Clay County. Gordonsville, a big win in Salina on Tuesday night, 62-37. And Gordonsville's rolling. They're 8-1.
Staying hot, just in time for their rivals to come to town on Friday at home. Big, massive matchup Friday night, but I'm not sure anyone around here is playing as hot as the Tigerettes are right now.
Let's go ahead and look at the Gordonsville boys. They go on the road to Salina, improved to 4-5 as they beat Clay County 50-37. Salina's always a tough place to go and win.
Yeah, going and sweeping, boys and girls, very impressive. Yeah, you can tell Gordonsville starting to catch stride with their football boys back, without a doubt.
Cannon and DeKalb. Cannon girls narrowly defeat DeKalb 56-52. And then Moore County beats Cannon's girls 41-33 to improve to, or their record now stands at 3-4.
Yeah, game Friday against DeKalb. On paper, you'd probably think Cannon would have won a little more comfortably, but rivalry games, a lot of times you can throw out the record and the numbers, so they're just going to be tight. And then Moore County, I believe a 1A program, but you see them in Murfreesboro at the Glass House pretty often, so nothing to scoff at there. That's just a tough team.
Let's go ahead and look at some boys' scores, and that's going to be Cannon boys getting the big win over DeKalb and getting also the win over Moore County. Both those games scoring 77 points. They're now standing at 6-0.
Just continuing to roll. Obviously, they've got it going on offense, and it's going to be a pretty exciting matchup with them in the district with Smith County this year. Those are going to be some battles.
Let's go ahead and look at some more scores. We'll start with DeKalb County's girls. They lose to White County at home, 70-41, second time in 2 weeks that they faced off against Michael Dodgen's team, who remains undefeated. They dropped to 2-5 overall. That is a former district rival that's now in the same region as them.
Yeah, a team you could possibly see come late February, and this is right down the road, so it makes sense to play this matchup still. White County, we got to see them earlier this week against the Lady Owls and Owls, and the girls' team still running strong under Coach Dodgen. Just a buzzsaw.
Let's go ahead and look at the DeKalb boys. They lose by 20, 62-42. Big second quarter for White County. DeKalb boys drop 2-3-4 overall. Let's go ahead and look at more scores, and we'll start with Smith County. They've had 3 games last Thursday. They moved that game up to 4 o'clock, I believe it was, and girls lost 62-51. Huge game for maybe one of the signature players, Sidney Wilhite, Seth, in the Upper Cumberland. An outstanding score. You know, the good thing with her is she's only a junior. She had 28 points. Just a big night for Sidney, and you know, she's one of the leading scorers in the nation.
Very impressive. I believe last year when we Smith County played them at Cumberland, first half they had I believe they had 20 points, and she had all 20 or 18
right.
At least.
That's right.
And you would think, why can't you just stop her? But just go watch her play. She can fill it up. That was an unusual game. It was, I believe, 38-31 Cumberland at halftime, and they came out and tried to hold the ball for a good portion of the second half, and it was just some strange basketball, but they held on for a win against the Lady Owls. And then we mentioned Monday, Lady Owls just way too many turnovers against Sparta to stay in that game, but bounced back last night and got a win over a Watertown team.
All right, let's go ahead and look at some more scores. It's going to be Cumberland County's boys with a 21-3 third quarter run, beat Smith County in Crossville. The Owls had won by 2 in Carthage 9 days earlier. On Monday night, the Owls make a turnover in the final 5 seconds, and White County hits a shot to win 62-61, and Owls win in Watertown earlier in the week 47-33. And we'll have Lane Basile for an interview. The Owls now stand at 5-5 heading to Gordonsville on Friday night. Let's go ahead and look at some more. Well, I guess that's all we've got as far as the scores. I know Watertown girls now stand at 3-5, and Watertown boys at 4-4, which covers all 10 of our teams. But when you look, it's kind of a feeling out process right now. And, you know, a lot of these teams are playing some really tough set non-district schedules.
That's what you want to do this time of year. Everybody likes to dream of going to Murfreesboro, make it to the Glass House with a big, nice, fancy record. But a lot of times, those teams have played a pretty cupcake schedule, and they get put out early. It's the teams that are 7, 8, 10 losses, but they've really challenged themselves. And once they get there, those teams often have the success. And we've seen that with a lot of teams around around the area. We've talked to Coach Pacell later, and I know the Owls are, I believe, 5-5, but they've lost to a good Pickett County team, Loretto, the defending state champions in 2A, Cookeville. So really testing themselves early, and other teams have done the same thing. But that's, like I said, I respect that, and I think that's the way to do it.
We'll have an interview with Smith County boys head coach Lane Bissell when we return, as we remind you, What's in the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When you look at the big picture, you're really looking at family. Nothing means more to you than their safety. DTC Security gives you the peace of mind to live your life your way, helping you connect what matters most, no matter where you are or what you do.
Your home deserves an all-star defense. For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, 3 window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation.
Helping you live life your way. We're DTC Security.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile, together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking, driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome back to The Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. Justin Malden and Seth Hackett filling in for Murphy Fair, who is in Clarksville at the TACA All-Star football game. And we've been joined by Lane Bissell, the Smith County boys head coach. And coach, I know you had to have a bitter taste in your mouth after you left Sparta on Monday night. A disappointing loss where you make a turnover in the final 5 seconds, allow them to hit a bucket for you to lose by one. But you kind of got that taste out of your mouth with the victory at Watertown on Tuesday night.
First off, appreciate you guys having me on. You know, the loss at Sparta was tough. It was a hard one for all of us to take. But it's a good learning situation. You know, we talked about it in the locker room after the game. You know, those mistakes can't be happening in February and March. I'd rather be happening now. And, you know, maybe I didn't do a good enough job preparing them for that situation at the end of the game. So it's a great learning opportunity. And then last night we come out and beat Watertown after a back-to-back. And to have a tough defeat like that, it's always a good sign to see us respond to something.
Coach, just walk us through some of your key players this year and what you're expecting out of each one of them.
Oh, for sure. So our junior, Tyler Jones, number 11, he's our point guard. He's our best defender. He takes care of the ball. He's, you know, got a high assist to turnover ratio. Someone we really lean to be a leader in the locker room. Morgan Sinclair is another junior, number 5. He great shooter, great energy guy, defends the ball very, very well. Great guy to have on your team to take charges and do all the dirty work. Colin Rigsby's a sophomore. He's number 1. He's a good glue guy, very heady, very smart player, shoots the 3 ball very, very well. Lucas Cornrill, he's a post player, number 23, sophomore as well. He's got great touch around the rim, rebounds the ball very well, great rim protector. And then Cooper Williams, number two, he's our leading scorer, our guy that we go to get a bucket most of the time. He's someone we're really leaning on to lead the way on the offensive end.
Coach, when you look in the game at Cumberland County last Thursday, you were up 9 at halftime. Of course, they shot very poorly, 3 of 25 for 12%. And then they kind of pressure us, and we kind of fold. We get outscored 21-3 in the third quarter and wind up losing that game 53-41. You had won a close game at home over them 9 days before that, 74-72. I know that inconsistency sometimes rears its ugly head from time to time during the season. And unfortunately, you had a bad 8 minutes, which wound up costing you the ball game.
Yes, it did. And honestly, it wasn't even really 8 minutes. It felt like it, but it was really 4 minutes because, you know, we went back and watched film as a team. Cooper Williams gets his third foul with about 4 minutes and 20 seconds left, 4 minutes, 10 seconds left in the third quarter. And as soon as we do that, Coach Goodwin makes a great adjustment and goes to a press. 2-2-1 press. And when that happened, you know, our guards just panicked, and they were in the right spots a lot of the time. We'd get a 2-on-1 opportunity, and then we wouldn't capitalize off of it like we should have, and then we'd end up turning the ball over. And, you know, the 21-3 score is not because we didn't necessarily defend well. It's because we turned it over, and they got in transition and scored. I was very pleased with our defensive effort in the first half. Like you said, we held them to 11 points. Cumberland County hasn't been held like that at all throughout the season. So I was very pleased at halftime, and then to come out in the third quarter and to lay an egg like that, it's just not very foreboding for the future if we come out at halftime and do that consistently.
Coach, we mentioned tough one on Monday, a good bounce back win last night. Wasn't the prettiest play either by either team, but you gritted one out. Big rivalry game on Friday, team across the river. Going to be a lot of pregame jitters, butterflies. Everybody comes out with a little extra energy. What are you telling your guys before they walk out of the locker room Friday night?
Well, I mean, something we talk about with butterflies is that we live for those moments. That's what we're here for. That's why you play this game that you love so much, is to have these moments. So instead of using that energy to be nervous or scared or tight, use that momentum, use that energy for excitement and the energy to play really, really hard and leave everything out on the floor and not to have anything that, you know, you regret during the game.
Coach, when you look last your last game, which was Watertown, Tyler Jones struggled, turned it over, which is not like him to do. Morgan Sinclair, a tough shooting night, 1-for-9. I know that, you know, we don't have a lot of depth off the bench, but we can't have a starter or two starters not playing well if we're going to be at our max capacity and be the best team that we can. And I realize they're 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. I get that. But still, you've got to be consistent night in, night out for the Owls to be top-notch.
For sure. You know, Watertown was playing a 1-2-2 last night, 3-2 extended. 1-3-1, they're mixing that in some. And we just early in the game, I thought we had pretty good shot selection, pretty good quality of shots. It didn't fall. And, you know, if those shots fall early, the game plan probably changes a little bit for Watertown. Something that a little adjustment we did at halftime, and I was telling the guys, like, hey, against this 1-2-2 that they're running, the post is open. We have got to look for Lucas Cornwell on the block and give him some opportunities to score, because that's going to alleviate all this pressure that we have shooting the ball from the three-point line. And he did a lot better job in the second half of scoring around there and getting extra opportunities for us on offensive rebounds.
Coach, pretty familiar district. Just swapped out Cannon County now for Jackson. Different region look. Talk about some of those region opponents and maybe if you were to make it to sub-state, some likely opponents that you would see there.
For sure. So, you know, our district, like you said, same York and Monterey, Cannon and us. You know, I've watched Monterey, I've watched York, I've watched Cannon. Cannon's putting up some pretty big numbers on the offensive end. They're scoring a lot. They've got great players. Lucas Phillips, Miles Alexander, they're a solid team. York's had some transfers in and gotten better. Monterey's got another year under Coach Putman. They're getting better as well. They're improving. And then on the other side of the region, it's a little unknown right now of how good those teams are. Like Marion County, they've been playing football for a long time. They haven't had the football guys, so it's hard to know how good they are. Sequatchie, kind of same way. Right now, from what I see record-wise and what I've seen on film, I would think Grundy County is the best team in that area, but I don't really know a lot about Marion without their football players coming back. And then sub-state, we played Watts Creek this scrimmage dates in November. We played them to a really close game. They were very, very talented, very skilled. White House Heritage, they've got, you know, a 6'11" post player. You know, other teams, Lead Academy, I know they lost a lot last year, but they were a sub-state team last year. You know, East Nashville, they're always a good team as well. So I'm curious to see who comes out of that, you know, the other region and see who we have. I'm hoping that we can make a big run at the sub-state, but we've got to come in and, like Terry just said, be a lot more consistent than we have been.
Coach, when you look at Tuesday night's game, which is your final home game against Beach at Bill Nanzer's gym in Carthage, you're going to face Cutter Sisk, one of the premier post players in the state of Tennessee, a 6'9 kid, senior, very, very physical guy. I know you've got Cornwell in there, but we're, you know, that's about the height that we've got. Everybody else is maybe 6'1", 6'2", or under that, but he's a physical player. I know you got to hope it's probably a tightly called game Tuesday night, because if not, he'll just push everybody out of the way and shoot it or dunk it. I mean, he's just, he's an outstanding player.
Yeah, he's a very tough matchup for us. Not only is he a strong post player, but he can come out on the perimeter and shoot the ball fairly well as well. You know, it's going to be a really, really probably a zone kind of game, because I don't think we have any kind of matchup for him, and just have, you know, extra help down there to stop him if he gets in the paint and try to contest if he's out in the perimeter.
All right, Coach, looking at your schedule so far, I've lost a lot of close ones and played some really tough opponents. I know we've talked about this before. Just talk about the benefits of really challenging yourself early on in the season in the non-district schedule.
Well, for me as a coach, my philosophy is I want to be tested. I don't want to walk into a gym and be beating people 25, 30 points every night. I just do not think that's beneficial for us for what our goals are. You know, we've lost some heartbreakers. You know, we got beat at the buzzer by Loretto, got beat by White County at the buzzer the other night, like you guys mentioned. But, you know, we play Cookeville, we play Pickett close. We've been in a 1 or 2 possession game in the fourth quarter against them. It's still, man, you know, we're playing starting 3 sophomores, and we're trying to learn how to win. And the only way to learn how to win like that is to be in those situations, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. And we're hoping that gets us prepared for our district, region, and hopefully sub-state time.
Coach, I know you got Taylor Wilmore back, and that's a welcome sight. And he's only 6 foot, but he's kind of a scrambler inside for you, a hustler. You've also found Knox Jones off the bench, the freshman that's giving you some good minutes.
Yeah, Taylor is a very key cog on our team, and people probably don't see that because he just does all the dirty work. But Taylor's a great screen player. He screens well, he gets rebounds well, he defends well, he sprints into actions on offense and gets our other players open to get shots, or sometimes they are so focused on those guys it gets him open. And then Knox Jones is a very physical defender who's very heady. He knows the game, plays on 2 feet, always under control, makes good decisions. And, you know, it's just been a learning experience for him to come out there as a freshman and have to contribute early.
Well, Coach Lane Bissell, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck to you and the Owls as they head to Gordonsville on Friday night to play their cross-county rival.
Hey, always good talking to you guys. I appreciate it.
Okay, Lane Bissell has been our guest, and we'll have more of the Box Score when we return, brought to you by Willworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookeville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank, care in common. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
And welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. Murphy Ferrett, that's Seth Hackett, not Murphy Ferrett, and Terry Collins, Justin Malden behind the scenes. And we've been joined by Coach Shaw, from DeKalb County. He was an assistant there and now takes over for Steve Trapp. And Coach Shaw, it's got to be quite an honor to get to coach at your alma mater.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Definitely been a dream to be a head coach and to have an opportunity to step in here at DeKalb County High School. After the last several years, everything that's happened and all the success, I'm just very honored to have the opportunity to be in charge here now.
Coach, just tell us about your playing career and coaching career, where all you've been.
Well, I played here at DeKalb County, and after I graduated, I was honored, blessed to get a scholarship to go play at Cumberland University. Played there until 2004, and then I started coaching in 2010. Coach Trapp gave me my first job. I got to coach wide receivers and D-line, and I just really thank a lot of Coach Trapp and appreciate him giving me the opportunity. Then in 2013, I became the defensive coordinator, was that for a little while, and then I got a chance to go to Lebanon High School with Coach Chuck Gentry and coach with him. And I really think a lot of Coach Gentry. He is a very great guy, and it was a blessing to work with him. In 2020, I came back here to DeKalb County and been here ever since then.
Coach, when you look at DeKalb and the region that you play in, it's an extremely tough region. Just to make the playoffs is kind of a feather in your cap, and you know you've had a good season. That's tough when you bang heads against the Uppermans and the White Counties and the Stone Memorials and those Livingston and other teams throughout the season.
Yes, sir. Our region, I would put it up there with any in the state. And the quality of coaches that are in our region too, I think they're all just top-notch individuals and very good coaches. And you can tell when you play those teams that they're coached well and they play extremely hard. It's definitely tough, especially the last couple of years, adding in White County and, you know, Coach Foster over there taking over last year. And the success that he's had, it's definitely a challenge. But, you know, myself and the assistant coaches and the players, we're definitely up for that challenge and looking forward to it.
Coach, what would you say are some of your most important keys to winning football games, what you want your teams to demonstrate?
I want to see toughness and discipline, and then definitely – you know, playing together and playing for each other. I've always told them, you know, the people in the stands should know how much you love each other by how hard you play the game of football. And that's definitely something that I will stick with and continue to tell them. And when you come watch the DeKalb County football game, you're going to see a well-coached team that really gets after it.
Coach, when you look and the amount of seniors that you lost, of course, I know you lost your quarterback, the Hendricks kid, but still, in what's returning, do you feel like there's kids maybe that are in the classroom now that can help you? What's your freshman class look like? What's the things you're going to be looking for next fall?
Well, we had an opportunity last year to play quite a few underclassmen, and you know, that's a special group, and they're gonna continue to improve. Haven't really had a chance to get out into the class or into the hallways that much, you know, with just being announced yesterday, but definitely looking forward to, you know, talking up the program. And the guys that are returning, you know, they understand what it takes to be a DeKalb County Tiger, and, you know, they're looking forward to the opportunity to improve from last year and, you know, just kind of show, you know, what they can do and take the lead and take charge now that some of the underclassmen will step into roles and the juniors will become seniors. And, you know, they're excited about that opportunity.
Coach, you mentioned Coach G earlier at Lebanon when you were coaching with him, and obviously you were close with Coach Trapp. Are there any other coaches that have been big influences over your playing and coaching career, and what have you learned from those guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've had an opportunity to coach with a lot of really good guys. Going to Lebanon and like I say, being with Coach Gentry and, you know, just making friendships with Coach Fry that's at Lebanon and Coach Williams and Coach Carter and a lot of those guys, just, you know, having somebody to talk to and get ideas off of and from. Those guys are awesome. And just here at DeKalb County, Thomas Cagle, I coached with him for a few years, and, you know, he was very organized and very smart, and just being able to just bounce ideas off each other. And then, you know, Coach Trapp, he's been awesome and just really shown what hard work and belief in something can do and how far that can go.
Coach, when you look, not a lot of success before Coach Trapp's tenure at DeKalb County. Didn't make the playoffs much, but have kind of been, you know, penciled into the playoffs since then. And I know you'd like to take that to another level.
Yes, sir. You know, we were fortunate enough 1 year to win the region in 2020, and we've been very close quite a few times. But that's kind of the standard, you know. We want to get in the playoffs, but we want to compete for the region championship too. I think that's everybody's goal starting out at the beginning of the year, and just, you know, working really hard there and winning each day and just being the best we can be and getting better and better at every opportunity that we get.
Coach, having been on staff with Coach Trapp the last few years, and now taking over as the head coach, how important is it that you've already got those relationships established with the players and they're not just getting thrown a new face?
Well, it definitely has its benefits because they kind of know me and they know what I'm about, and there doesn't really need to be a big learning curve. And same goes on the other side. I know them and know what they're about, and you know, just can we all come together and work for a common goal and just, you know, bond together, maybe hearing a different voice. And, you know, Tiger pride is still a big part of DeKalb County football, and it always will be. You know, just my interpretation of that, and are they ready to just lock down and lock in and compete each and every day and get ready to go.
All right, Coach, we're going to fade back to your college days. And if I remember right, Coach Herschel Moore was your coach at Cumberland. And if they threw five passes a game, it was a miracle. So if you had 12 receptions at the end of the year, you was leading the team in receptions and yardage. I guess you learned how to block as a wide receiver quite a bit, as much as Cumberland ran the football. I think I went to one game where they ran it 61 times and threw it four times the entire game.
Absolutely. Coach Moore was awesome. I loved playing for that man. I really looked up to him playing for him and being able to learn the wing tee offense. And you are right. We rarely ever threw the ball, and sometimes that was maybe we should have thrown it more. But we had a lot of success, you know, running the ball. And I think in 2001 we actually led the nation in rushing that year. And we had a pretty good season that year. And I was fortunate to have that opportunity, and you know, just made a lot of really good relationships with a lot of my teammates who I still talk to today. And you know, it was a really, really cool experience that I'm definitely glad and blessed I was able to do that.
Coach, I'm not sure about the timeline of all of this, but have you been working on the schedule for next year? And is it going to be about the same? Any new teams on the schedule? What's it looking like for 2026?
As far as I know, the schedule should be the same. You know, it just flip-flops from wherever we played last year. We should play at home this year and vice versa. So the schedule should be the same, and you know, I know a lot of those teams have gotten better, will get better on this off season, and it's definitely going to present a new set of challenges. But I know that I'm ready for it, and the assistant coaches that I've got with me are ready for it. Coach Cross, Wheeler, and Jennings, you know, they're very intelligent and very good young coaches, and I'm blessed to have them on staff and be able to work with them more as we go on. But the schedule will stay the same, like I say, it's going to be a bunch of new challenges, and those teams are going to get better, but we are looking forward to that opportunity.
Well, Coach Michael Shaw, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck to you and DeKalb County.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
And we'll remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? Because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking, driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome back to The Box Score. We've been joined by Terry Brock, the head coach for the Gordonsville girls. And Coach, you're on quite a roll. You go to Salina earlier in this week, and you get a big win, 25 points against Clay County. And Coach, that's no small feat. That doesn't happen very often.
Yes, we did. And to have it on the road especially, that was good. We've had two really good road wins back-to-back here. And last night, we really locked in from the tip, and I was really proud of them. We had effort and intensity. I think we came out. We knew that would be a tough game. You know, we know Clay's going to be a battle. It's a little bit of a rivalry where they were in that old district together, and we knew it would be a battle. And so I was proud of the girls because they locked into the game plan. We executed, and we came out with a really good win last night.
Coach, Terry already mentioned just really good start to this year so far, and I know most coaches would say it's early on. It's important to win the ones in February and March instead, but what do you think this year, year two, has been the biggest areas of improvement that have led to this hot start?
I think the number one thing is awareness on offense and defense both, and being able to read and react. I think, and it started this summer, I really challenged our team to be able to read and react situations. And I think them understanding those reads and being able to be better decision makers is the number one thing that's led to our success this year. I also think the second thing that's led to our success is not only does our team have good teamwork on offense, I think, and most people don't think about that, they don't think, okay, teamwork on defense, but I think our teamwork on defense is really the thing that then helped us be the most successful. I challenge them every day, you know, be good communicators. That's one of the keys that when I put the notes on the board every single game, that's one of our big keys is being able to communicate. And so I think just understanding the game and awareness, and then on top of that, the teamwork that we have on the offense and the defensive end are the biggest contributing factors to our success so far this season.
Coach, you got three seniors in Mackenzie Heron and Dariana Bell and Molly Story. But I think I was more impressed on Friday night when you beat Watertown with just your balance. Everybody on the floor scored, and if they didn't score, they contributed in some way, whether it be assists or steals or rebounds or deflections. You didn't have a very deep bench. A couple of girls, I guess, is all that played off of that. But I thought the people that came in gave you some valuable time.
Yes. I've actually got four seniors. Bailey Trusty is a senior, too. And you're exactly right. That is one of the tools that we have this year is we do have balance. You know, I had a stretch there where I had five games and I had five different scoring leaders. And some of those nights, a lot of those nights, I had two leading scorers. Two girls with 16 one night, two girls with 12 one night. I do love the way that my seniors are providing senior leadership. Usually most games, at least one of those leading scorers is a senior. And the last two games, both of those games, I've had four players in double figures. And I've also got some youth on the floor. So if you take that senior leadership, it's not just leadership, those seniors that you mentioned, they also bring experience. They've got a lot of game experience. So you put that with the athleticism of some of my youth, and I think we've got the perfect mix on the court right now.
Coach, we had Coach Bissell on from Smith County Boys earlier, and I'm asking the same question I've got for you. Big rivalry game Friday night, a team across the river. A lot of nerves, a lot of butterflies, energy pregame. What are you going to tell your girls to kind of get them settled in and ready to go Friday?
You know, this game, it hits a little bit different for my players than it does for me. Just history and the past and the rootedness of the rivalry, which, you know, they're deeply rooted in. And the way I approach every game is just it's one game at a time, and every game is important. That's one thing. You know, we have three games this week. This has been a big week for us. So right now, honestly, our point of emphasis is our first district game tomorrow night. And that's a new start for us in that new district. And we'll talk and we'll approach that other game. But really right now, it's one game at a time. Tuesday night was a good win. Tomorrow night's our first contest in our new district. And then Friday night, obviously, anytime those two schools are matched up in any sport, it's going to be a rivalry game. It's going to come with heavy weight. But I tell the girls, it's a game, and every game is of that significance. Every game is important. And I try to approach it as long as we step on that floor and you give 100% effort. I tell them, too, there's going to be a lot of games, a lot of things in that game that we're going to be able to control, and there's going to be a lot of things in that game that we're not going to be able to control. And I said, just control the controllables, and then we can't worry about the uncontrollables. And that's how I approach that game. That's really how I approach any game. But you said it, and it's no secret. I mean, it is a big game because of the rivalry. And I think both of our teams on the girls' side have really good teams this year. So I look for it to be a good competitive game. But my goal is just preparing my girls to treat this as they would any other game. We got to show up. We got to play from the tip. you know, start to finish, we got to give our best effort and our best intensity.
Coach, there's two things that I've noticed that's changed a lot from year one and in years past. You shoot the ball a lot better than you used to, and I know that comes with a lot of work in the gym in the off season and a dose of confidence that maybe these young ladies didn't have that have now. And another thing was turnovers. You know, used to you'd average 20 or 25 of those a game, and you've really cut that. And I feel like that's two things that have contributed mightily to your offensive efficiency.
Yes, I would 100% agree. And I think both those things go back to that decision making. I think right now, the reason our shooting percentage is better is because we're taking higher percentage shots. And that goes back to being able to decision make and know what is the best shot on the floor. And it's the same exact thing with the turnovers. Being able to read and react. I think another thing too, like you said, playing with confidence. I think we also play with a little bit of a calmness now too. And that's something that, again, started emerging in this summer. I think once they had confidence in that, then that confidence just grew. We also we're comfortable with each other right now. We know each other's strengths, and I think we play to that, and we recognize that in each other. And I think that's a contributing factor also.
Coach, you mentioned your senior leaders earlier, but also that you had some young players. Your daughter Lily, a freshman, and then Laney Foster, an eighth grader, contributing a lot so far this year. How encouraging is that, not only for this year, but in the future, as you're kind of starting to build a program and a culture there to have such young players with such big roles?
Oh, it's extremely encouraging. And, you know, I've also got a junior right now that's getting significant minutes who's really contributing on both ends of the floor too, Brooke Burke. So it's awesome. But my focus is really on this year. I really want these seniors to have a good year. It is encouraging for the future. But really, you know, in basketball, we really can just take one year at a time. I've got some other freshmen that I've been really working hard too and shown a lot of improvement. I've got some eighth grade girls too that I look to be factors next year for our team as well. So it's exciting. But I'm, of course, excited about the start that we've had. I knew these girls were capable of that. And so now that we've got into play and seeing how the season played out, now don't get me wrong, you know, we're going to have challenges. The one loss we had against Jackson County, and Jackson County has a good team. They're a veteran team, and the fact that they returned most of their scorers from last year. But we didn't have a great game that game, so I was interested to see how we would bounce back from that game. And we responded well the last two games, especially being on the road. But I'm just really excited. I want these seniors to have this year and have some success and to get off on such a good start. I think that's well deserved because these seniors, you know, they've worked hard. It's their time to shine. So I'm extremely excited for them.
Coach, you go to Merrill Hyde, like you said, to play a new district opponent on Thursday night in Hendersonville, and then you return home. So back-to-back games, and I don't think you'll have much trouble getting the Tigerettes up for that second night.
I don't think I will either. I think they're probably already a little bit excited about it. But yes, it's two back-to-back important nights. Like I said earlier, that Thursday night, that first district game, Friday night, it's going to be an exciting environment. And I really hope that it's just two really great games that the fans, we have a good turnout. I think we will anytime those two teams are matched up. But I just hope it's a really good game. I hope everybody stays safe and everybody just plays hard. And the fans that come watch that game are going to have two really good games that night.
Well, Coach Brock, we appreciate you visiting with us off to an 8-1 start. Congratulations on that and to the Tigerettes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
We've been visiting with Terry Brock, the head coach for the Gordonsville Tigerettes, and we'll have the featured game and upcoming games when we return to the box score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank.
Why do our customers choose Homeland Community Bank? because we're committed to providing top-quality financial services while focusing on those personal banking relationships that treat you like the friends and neighbors that you are. From checking and savings to loans of all types, including those focused on business, Homeland Community Bank is truly ready to meet your needs. Contact us today to make the switch to better banking. Homeland Community Bank. Banking by the people, for the people. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
At Wellworth Bank, we believe care makes for better banking. It's what turns transactions into trust and customers into neighbors. To us, people are more than numbers. They're families building futures, dreamers starting new journeys. We believe care should come standard because you're worth it. You always have been. Wellworth Bank. Care in common. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
All across our communities, DTC is working hard for you each and every day so you can experience amazingly fast internet no matter where you live.
It's time to bench your bad internet and bring in the real MVP, GigSpeed from DTC. For a limited time, new customers get half off gig internet for 2026.
Call, stop by, or visit us online to sign up. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
Welcome back to the Box Score, brought to you by Wellworth Bank. We want to thank all of our sponsors. Seth Hackett with us, the Murphy Fair off in Clarksville with the TACA All-Star Football Game. They'll be playing there at the Austin, on the Austin Peay campus. And we think he'll be back in the saddle hopefully next week. They won't kick him in the Cumberland River, which I'm sure is ice cold right now, the way the weather that we are having. But when you look at our featured game, it's one that Seth and I both played in, both have been a part of. And, you know, there's just something special, Seth, about when the Owls and Tigers, Lady Owls and Tigerettes get together.
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier with the Cab County girls and Canyon girls score being closer than we might have thought. This is just a game early. It's usually ugly because both teams are just so hyped up and takes a while to settle down. But usually it is the first team that kind of gets it together that comes out on top, just because it is such a big game. But Gornsville girls really playing great right now. Huge turnaround under Coach Brock. So Coach Farrell definitely have to be preparing for that one. And then the boys, like we've said, Gornsville kind of catching their stride with football boys getting back and in the groove. And so should be two really good games at Gornsville High School on Friday night.
Let's look at the replay date. It'll be on Tuesday night, December the 16th, Thursday night, December the 18th, Friday night, December the 19th at 7, and on Wednesday, December the 17th at 1 o'clock, the replay of Smith County at Gordonville High School. So let's go ahead and look at our upcoming games. Cannon County traveling down to Cascade to play the champions, and then they're going to Dunlap to play Sequatchie County. And sometimes when you look, that could be a region matchup for the girls or boys. When you look, you don't never know that, but Cannon has scheduled some pretty tough non-district opponents.
Yeah, you want to get a look, obviously, with your own eyes against some potential region opponents, but it can be dangerous to do this in high school, but it also gives you a chance to kind of compare scores of how good or bad you played against a team that you may have a common opponent with a future matchup. So I kind of doing a little early season scouting still. I've not gotten into district play yet, but just kind of giving yourselves an idea of what you could be looking at come postseason.
Let's go ahead and look at DeKalb County. They're heading over to McMinnville to play Warren County. I guess that's straight up Highway 56. And then Livingston, which is now back playing both girls and boys this week, will play at DeKalb. Of course, that's an old 8AA rivalry They're no longer in the same district. They're in the same region as Livingston and DeKalb. But still, that's always been a heated affair down through the years.
Big rivalry this Friday with Warren, Coach Fish, former girls coach at DeKalb County now. Been coaching the boys at Warren, and his son, Devin, great ball player and a senior. Played with a lot of the guys that are at DeKalb, and so there's a little extra heat to that rivalry the last few years. And then, as you mentioned, a former district opponent that they've battled with for a long time, Livingston. Well, that's obviously had some controversy around their program, but it's back to playing now. Get them on Tuesday night. So,
of course, you know, you're looking at Livingston and DeKalb. Livingston girls coming in 1-5. Now, I know they've played a lot of tough opponents. And I guess only for Livingston boys, you've only got freshmen and a few sophomores that play since the others are no longer on the team. So, you know, both of those games could be fairly close, you would think, in Smithville next Tuesday night. Let's go ahead and look at Gordonsville's schedule. Of course, they welcome the Owls and Lady Owls on Friday night, and then they go to Red Boiling on Tuesday night. Of course, Red Boiling used to be in their district, now in their region, I think that's right. Of course, Gordonsville now in their new district. It's got Trousdale County, Merrill Hyde, and then a bunch of ABC schools, I guess you'd say. They have a lot of new opponents, Innovation Academy out of Springfield, just a lot of new faces in their district. But, you know, Gordonsville boys and girls, I'm sure, will be looking to grab a couple of wins when they head to Macon County on Tuesday night.
Yeah, still trying to teach myself all these new district and region matchups. There's been so many that we've already mentioned that are former district opponents that are no longer. Most of them still region opponents, but teams kind of going up and down and switching around makes it a little confusing. But really good chance for Gordonsville to go up there Tuesday and get a couple wins and come back. Hopefully, I'm sure they're thinking after two big rivalry wins on Friday.
Let's go ahead and look at Smith County. They're at Gordonsville, and then Beach, a very good team. Beach girls lost their first game against Lebanon on Tuesday night of this week. Tuesday night of next week will be the Owls and Lady Owls' final game of the regular season before they go to Charleston between Christmas and New Year's. Let's go ahead and look at the Watertown schedule, upcoming games. They'll go to Monterey on Friday night. I think this will be the third time that they played Monterey. I think they may have played them in the tournament, a little tournament that Monterey had, and then Watertown at Livingston. Of course, I think that's a makeup from earlier. But when you look at Watertown, I know right now both teams only scoring 33 points each. Of course, you know, that's probably not a fair statement with the girls, with Macy Braley, one of their leading scorers, out against Smith County. But both teams only scored 33 points each. And I think in talking to both coaches, they've got to have other players that are going to step up and score for them.
Absolutely. I used to see the girls score from last night. Lady Owls win by 9, I believe. Kind of misleading. That game was really close for 3/4 of the game at least. And then we were surprised when Braley wasn't playing. I believe she had a stomach bug that the teams had going around. But, they missed quite a bit of shots last night, and they had some good looks. Those shots, it wasn't because they were necessarily highly contested, just not knocking shots down right now. And until you start doing that, yeah, you're just going to struggle.
Let's go ahead and look at some other area games. You got York at Livingston, always a big rivalry, and then Blackman going to Upperman. Blackman, a team that Smith County will face the first game of 2026 in Rutherford County. You got Jackson at Macon, always a big rivalry, and Clay at Macon, which is a big rivalry. Macon and Clay, I think, have already played maybe once, but that should be some good games that are in the area in the Upper Cumberland. As we want to thank Justin Malden, always doing a great job for us. And for Seth Hackett, I'm Terry Collins. Good night from the Bop Score.